through the Alaska Airlines studios.
This is Jake and Stacy on 710 ESPN Seattle. Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Jake Heaps and Stacy Ross.
If you didn't hear Jake yelling in the background, well, what you missed was him yelling, Series W, baby, because the Mariners took a series win, first series out of the All-Star break over the Angels, thanks to another great showing by Logan Gilbert.
Why would anybody hear me?
Well, because they can hear you from, because you're screaming, Jake.
But your mic isn't on, is it?
Oh, it's on.
Curtis and I
turn it on every single time.
Yeah,
you just don't know it.
So we can like pick up your yelling in the background.
You know what, Jake? I'm not making this up.
No one can actually make out what you're saying.
Jake, listen to me. I went out on Saturday.
I went out on Saturday
with friends. I have friends. I know it's shocking to you guys since you think I only have you two as friends, but I have other friends that don't just include my mom or the two of you.
That's not shocking.
I went out on Saturday and I ran into someone, shout out to Brandon, who listens to the show, and if I'm remembering correctly, he said something like, does Jake really yell all the time? And I said, yes. He screams before every single show. He really does get up and start screaming, and Curtis, just very slippery, turns on the mic next to him.
Yeah.
How dare you guys? I thought this was a violation of trust.
You can't even make out what you're saying
half the
time. No, we just hear distant screaming, and it's probably because you mixed, what'd you mix this morning?
Just some flavors of Zip Fizz, that's all.
Yeah, how many though, Jake?
Well, two, but...
Right, that's a lot.
I get pumped. I'm ready to go every day. You got to get psyched up.
And you have plenty reason to be psyched up if you're a Mariners fan, because it was a great series for the Mariners. It's a great game yesterday, great game Friday. And you have plenty of reason to be psyched if you're an NHL fan, if you're a Kraken fan, because the expansion draft is however many hours away into what? 72? I don't know, Curtis. The NHL expansion draft is on Wednesday at 5 p.m. It's going to be a 90-minute special. We have ESPN NHL reporter Emily Kaplan joining us at noon.
She's got some, by the way, we recorded it just so you know, we pre-recorded it. She's got some great stuff for you guys.
She's got hot fire.
Awesome, awesome stuff.
She's going to tell you two of the biggest names, the biggest surprises from the list of names that were unprotected. And then she's also got a list of names she's been hearing could be Seattle Kraken players, some of the first players in franchise history. So that's really exciting coming up in just a little under an hour. Let's start, though, with the Mariners, the three biggest stories coming out of the Mariners weekend series. You know what? I want to get to pitching. It's where I want to start, but instead I'm going to start with this. Jared Kelnick, 3 hits over the weekend, 1 in each game.
Hey, baby.
Look, I'm just saying the expectations for what you want this year for Kelnick, at least for me, I don't mean to speak for you guys, at least for me, they've changed. I was fine with this weekend. I was fine with it. You know what I mean? Like, he struck out, sometimes it wasn't great. 3 hits over the series, that's great. That's a good weekend series coming up.
What we saw from Kelnick at the end of his stint the first time around.
That.
Absolutely.
You know what this is called?
You give me 3 hits 3 days in a row.
A hitting streak.
Yes, we got a hitting streak on our hands for Jared Kelnick. Fantastic. Now, they're only singles. I mean, it wasn't like there were big fireworks that were being put on display from Jared Kelnick. But look, that's all I want to see from him right now coming out of the gate. Let's just get that hitting streak, that hitless streak out of the way for Kelnick. I bet that first hit on his 22nd birthday felt like a huge, huge weight off his shoulders. And now here he is with zero pressure on him in the back part of the lineup. And as I said before, just be Jake Fraley. Go and get yourself on base. That to me is the big thing that I want to see from Kelnick as we watch him in the second half of the season. As he gets more comfortable, maybe we start seeing more power, we start seeing more doubles, and we really start to see the impact of the talent that he can, that he possesses.
Now, Jake, you made fantastic points, and I'm not laughing at your points. I'm laughing because I just checked the text line for the first time today, 710-710. Text in, yes, Jake, we can hear you yell at the beginning of the show. Someone else says, Jake, we can all hear you. Jake, we hear it every time. Why are you shocked? Someone else says, every time I hear Jake yelling, I think people are outside my shop fighting. And finally, a text from the 509. You know what's screaming? Stacy's shirt.
Yes, it's screaming very loudly.
Action Green.
Action Green.
I talked so much trash about Action Green, and I walked myself right into this one. It's part of a set. It's cute.
Okay. Yeah, sure. The reason why I was asking, because I didn't know that you guys turned on the mic before. before we kick this thing off. So
it's production trick we like to do.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't know that. So anyways, but, you know, staying on with Jared Kelnick here, that was very positive to see that. And then you move on to the starting pitching that we saw over the series. I mean, this is a roller coaster here. This is up and downs in terms of emotions. But when you talk about what we witnessed yesterday from Logan Gilbert, I mean, guys, how can you not be pumped and fired up about what you've seen from Logan Gilbert? His development from his debut to now has been absolutely outstanding, has been really, really fun to watch. And you can just see with every game that there are little things that he accomplishes. Look, Logan Gilbert going out and having another career-high day of strikeouts. He improved his number from 8 to 9. That's exciting. But you know what I was more excited about? Curtis, I don't know if you know, it says the same things to you as it does to me, but seeing Logan Gilbert get himself out of jams multiple times in that game, he wasn't perfect. He wasn't completely dominant like he was against the Yankees, but he got himself out of a couple of jams in some critical moments. That really spoke volumes to me as a young pitcher.
Oh, absolutely. You look at just another young pitcher on the Mariners roster that has found himself in quite a few jams this year, Justice Sheffield. It's kind of been the opposite for him. He's allowed those runners to score. And those are kind of the early situations that you want to see the mettle of these young pitchers, what they're made of. And for Logan Gilbert to be able to work his way out of these jams just in, what, 10 career starts already? I mean, the guy's tough as nails right now. And, I mean, look at the Mariners' record in his last 9 starts. They're 9-0. He is giving the Mariners a chance to win each and every time he is stepping to the mound.
And that career-high 9 batters also ties, I think I saw this from Divish, sets a new franchise record for consecutive starts and team wins. Gilbert went, by the way, 5 1/3, 94 pitches, allowed 4 hits, 2 runs, walked just 2, 9 strikeouts, retired his first 7 in a row, and 6 of those were strikeouts with the first 3 swinging strikes. That was fantastic. And it was really, really exciting. Now, again, we talked about it being kind of a roller coaster ride. You mentioned it being kind of a roller coaster ride for starting pitching.
Mm-hmm.
I would not have predicted, not just that Gonzalez and Sheffield wouldn't be your two top pitchers, but that they would be struggling, whether for health reasons, Marco missed the better part of a month, whether for some kind of regression in the case of Sheffield trying to work out, you know, he talked about maybe overcorrecting mechanics and trying to get back into that while he's on the IL. Whatever it was, it's a really... it's kind of a bummer trade-off. Like, I love the season we've been having, even with the struggles from Kikuchi, who was an all-star this year, obviously Flexen and Gilbert. I hate that it comes, not at the expense, but comes with the regression or struggles of a couple other starters. And injuries. That's without even mentioning the injuries. The fact that every single pitcher, except for Flexen, and just, I don't want to count Kikuchi because it was just kind of a COVID precaution, but technically every other pitcher except for Flexen has been on the IL.
Well, it does give you cause for concern because you look at the Yankee start with Kikuchi a couple weeks ago, no, 2 weeks ago, and his stuff was remarkably down. I mean, you talk about his spin rates, you talk about his velocity, all those things were down, and you start to wonder, oh man, is he dealing with something heading into the All-Star break? He ends up sitting out of the All-Star break, not due to necessarily an injury, but the fact that he couldn't prep the way that he wanted to before the All-Star game. So there's just these things that make you question and wonder, is there an injury concern for Kikuchi? Is this a moment of confidence where he is going backwards with his confidence? Because it would be such a bummer because he's been so outstanding at the beginning of the year and he's been such a promise to the stabilizing of at least the top two of your rotation in terms of the development of Logan Gilbert, Kikuchi coming together and really establishing himself as not just a talented guy, but a guy that has all the makings of a very good middle of your starting rotation pitcher, an elite guy in that role. Mm-hmm. And if Kikuchi goes on regression, it concerns me that the Mariners are going to have to do even more to try and go out and establish and bring in guys that are more established in their starting rotation, which means spending more money than what I would like them to if Logan Gilbert, if you say Kikuchi, could be established. And can I say just one quick thing before we move on?
Yeah.
Put some respect on my boy Chris Flexen's name. Put some respect on his name. I know that we gloss over him and what he's done because he's that guy that just like he's the engine that couldn't that you know the engine that could and just
engine continue. That couldn't though works for a while
yeah,
for
it
a
does.
Brief period of time. I feel like that's fair.
Because that's the start of his career.
But that's what to every, be fair, the
it
start
is.
Of his career.
It is, and nobody expects him to continue to keep with these performances. Everybody's wondering, can he sustain this through the end of the year? Can he sustain this into his future? And I think they're all valid questions. But he has dominant performances night after night, mm-hmm. and it's time to put some respect on him. And guess what? If he develops into this guy where we can find this hidden gem for the next couple years, his contract is so unbelievably cheap, he would be a gem in the back part of your starting rotation if you were to build this thing up. And hats off to Chris Flexen for, again, putting another dominant performance. Not at T-Mobile Park. On the road.
Important.
And that was a big moment for him. So I love to see that as well.
Last story here, Mitch Haniger.
Here's the 2-0 from Bundy. Swung on, blasted to center field. This is crushed. Back on it, Lagares looking up. It's off the rocks and gone. Mitch Haniger, a 2-run blast to center field. And the Mariners extend the lead. Two more on the board. It is 6-1 M's.
A stellar weekend for Haniger. Ended up going 5-11 with two home runs. He was 3-for-5 with two RBI and a home run Friday. 1-for-3 with four RBI Saturday. 1-for-3 yesterday and accounted for three of the Mariners' seven runs, Jake.
Mitch Haniger at his best is an all-star. Absolutely. And, you know, he carried the team for a big portion of it at the beginning of the year. Went through a little bit of a slump there. And now in June, he went through a slump, and in July, he has been on fire. And if he can continue to keep that going, we got a little segment coming up down the road, which if he stays on fire like this, it gives me great concern as to his future here in Seattle. But he is a player that I love watching, and I hope remains a Mariner through the remainder of his contract, if that's all we get out of him. But he has been a huge, huge boost to this team. Having him back, having him healthy after everything that he's gone through, been really, really fun to watch. And you saw peak Mitch Haniger over this series.
Like Jake said, we're going to be talking about the potential of trading Mitch Haniger. Jake's certainly hoping that doesn't happen at 11:45. Don't go anywhere. We're going to also get back into Crack and Talk at noon with an interview with Emily Kaplan following that. Before any of it, though, it is 11:13. That means it's time for headlines.
Extra, read all about it.
Headline Rewrites.
Presented by Tila Mortgage.
The real story behind the headlines in today's news with Jake and Stacy.
Headline number one, Logan Gilbert continues his emergence atop the Mariners rotation. They have now won 9 straight games started by the rookie. What is the real headline?
Just as everyone predicted, the Mariners' two most consistent pitchers in July have been Logan Gilbert and Chris Flexen.
Yeah, we all saw that coming.
Go, roll the tape. Roll the tape. You can
early
hear me
season
in April.
Predictions. Yeah. We were hours
in April.
Of footage. The Jake and Stacy show.
We said it right here. We said Logan Gilbert and Chris Flexen will combine to strike out, what, like 17 batters over the course of a weekend series? I think I said that, if I'm remembering correctly.
It's unbelievable.
It really is.
Now, it's been fun to watch those two guys and their performances and what they've been able to do, especially Logan Gilbert, because of the implications of the future. If he can come in at the end of the year, come into next year as the established ace of this team, that's an exciting proposition for you as you're rebuilding, as you're continuing to have great arms in your farm system. Chris Flexen has been a revelation that I hope continues what he's been doing this year and can stay around with the team, because next year they keep him. His contract's like $2 million. Then he has another stipulation and an additional third year on that where he only gets raised to like $3 million. I mean, it would be so insanely cheap to have a player like Chris Flexen playing very, very good ball right now. I mean, I don't know, man. I mean, it's really fun to watch. But it does concern me that we're seeing this regression from Yusei Kikuchi. Marco Gonzalez has been wildly inconsistent this year. Justice Sheffield, pretty much getting demoted, getting put on the IO. I mean, you just look at this in terms of what the starting rotation has been. Man, it's been tough, but Logan Gilbert and Chris Flexen have been holding it down.
360 calls Chris Flexen a jack of all aces.
Oh, that's a good way to sum it up. He is a jack of all aces.
There
if
is
I've
not
ever
a greater
one.
Compliment than that.
Than a, you know, I feel like
nailed
we
it,
need to make it clear that it's Jake-isms whenever those things happen. Jack of all aces. He's going to be the Seahawks cowbell.
Swing.
Yeah, he's Chris Carson going to be the cowbell for the Seahawks.
Headline rewrites.
Headline number two, the NHL's protection lists have been made public. Big names like Montreal goalie Carey Price and St. Louis winger Vladimir Tarasenko now available for selection by the Kraken on Wednesday. What is the real headline?
Seattle might not take either of these guys, but the fun part is watching someone spend $80 million in 72 hours. Now, that's actually just a summary. There's no joke. There's no anything, but I am telling you right now, this is fun. You are watching someone spend $80 million of someone else's money to get a bunch of stars, fill a team, and do this after another expansion team, for the first time for really any expansion team, found unprecedented success. There's plenty of excitement. Now, speaking of Price, the belief, he waived his no movement clause so that Montreal could protect backup goalie Jake Allen. And the belief from presumably Montreal there is that the contract he has 5 years left on an 8-year, $84 million deal, keeps Seattle from taking him. And maybe it does, which is why I threw that in there. Like, maybe these two guys won't be selected by Seattle for different reasons. For Tarasenko, it would be injuries. But the idea is still that there's plenty to be excited about. And by the way, we just got in a list of celebrities that have been tapped to help Seattle announce the new expansion draft picks on Wednesday night. I'll tell you who they are coming up at 30 after. Some fun ones on here.
Love it. I love it. You know, when it comes to these type of names, it's always curious to me when you go to these expansion drafts, because there is a lure that is there to get an established guy, get a high name, that a highly valued name that people instantly are going to know, hey, here's this player, here's the draw, here's the eye, not just to your franchise and what they can do for you in terms of being an established veteran, an established player in the league, but also in terms of, from a media perspective, they know what the main attraction is. There's also something fun to it about building something new. And that is what I'm going to be curious about with the Seattle Kraken, with Ron Francis, with Dave Haxtell. If they go young, if they go with a bunch of, I wouldn't say no-name guys, but let's say not highly touted names, because they want to establish and build their culture their way, and they want to do it from the ground up. That would not surprise me in the least bit if they passed on these two names. But you talk about that $80 million spent. I'm trying to picture Ron Francis. What is he doing? Does he have the cash and he is
throwing it?
Throwing,
just throwing it,
like
it.
This?
Exactly, yep.
Or does he have the cash guns that you can shoot out? Which one?
Know.
Or if he's got that glass box with the fan going.
A good one.
Can I shout out to whoever is running the Kraken social media account? Their Twitter game has been fire this weekend.
I love seeing
really
the chaos they cause amongst other NHL teams' Twitter accounts. Everyone's like, don't take so-and-so, please.
Please.
I beg of you.
Anything. We'll give anything. The Liza voice.
Headline rewrites.
In the top. Please.
Without fail.
Liza's a big hockey fan.
Huge Kraken fan.
Headline number three, the Milwaukee Bucks stunned the Phoenix Suns in Phoenix by taking game five, and they can close out the NBA Finals on Tuesday night in Milwaukee.
Mm-hmm.
What is the real headline?
Much like myself, the sun is setting on Chris Paul's chances of getting a ring.
Well, hey now.
Wow.
Wow.
Stacy.
Look,
you went there. You went there. Not us. You went there.
I'm not immune from headline rewrites.
You put yourself on blast.
It hurt.
Stacy, that's not true at all.
It's true.
There's still time. There's still two games left in the finals.
Someone tunes into this show after never hearing it before, and they just, no, you can totally still get married. They're like, what am I listening to right now?
We just got to get Brian to stop dragging his feet in space.
Yeah.
And
come
pull
down
the trigger already.
Exactly.
Come down to earth.
Yeah. Literally, just come back to earth, literally, and, you know, put a ring on it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It'll happen.
No, it is. I have to say, you guys, because I have no true allegiances in this series, I very, very, very shamelessly switched allegiances over the weekend.
You did?
All in for
respect.
The Bucks.
Respect.
Thank you. Thank you.
Bucks You're, fan. You've been a Bucks fan your entire life.
I've been a Bucks fan since the day I drew my first breath.
Stacy is someone that's switching allegiances, but really what you are is you're a front runner. because the Suns came
That's
out. They were
is.
The front runners.
Yep.
Now the Bucks have tied this thing up. They look great. Giannis has been playing amazing. And now, Stacey.
Yeah.
You're a front runner. You're going with the team that you think is going
to
win.
I'm like a compass. Like, Drake, you can follow me to find out, like, what's the most successful team in the league right now? Well, what's Stacey a fan of?
Yeah, that's, Drake's got a jersey
I'm the true
for,
North
like,
Star.
Every team in professional sports.
Yeah,
wherever
yeah, easily.
Wherever somebody's winning, Drake is right there with them. And sometimes there's a little bit of a curse that follows. Stacey,
yes.
I mean, she's probably just ordered her Bucks jersey.
Absolutely.
With Giannis and, you know.
I'm wearing it over my Suns jersey. Yeah. I've been talking about the Suns for weeks now, and now I'm like, I have never not been a fan of Giannis.
Right.
Like, I've forever. I don't know. I've been rooting for the Bucks the whole time.
Now, here's the deal. Giannis is such an easy player to root for and to really like.
I mean,
from his play on the field or on the court and off the court. You see why so many people are enamored with him, and I love him. I think he's fantastic for the game. At the same time, I am not going to be switching mid-series. I am still going to be rooting for
the Suns. You're still
rooting for the Suns? This is serious gut check time, especially for Chris Paul, because he has not played to the same, you know, to the same standard that he has had all season long, all playoffs long, and he's really kind of crumbled over the last two games in terms of his clutch level play.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I'm still pulling for him and Devin Booker in the Suns. But man, the Bucks are roaring back, and they have definitely made this a series.
Well, I don't want to speak for Chris Paul. I mean, maybe between me and Chris, one of us can still get a ring. We don't know. There's still time for him. Save yourself, Chris. All right. Mike Salk joins us next. He is going to help you guys get ready for everything you need to know about the NHL expansion draft. Plus that list of names, that list of celebrities, they're going to help announce those Seattle Kraken picks. I'll tell you who they are next.
You're listening to Jake and Stacey.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Jake Heaps and Stacey Ross.
Don't miss a minute of the Kraken expansion draft with 710 ESPN Seattle. Join Bob Stelton, Mike Salk, and our NHL insider, John Morosi, for live pick-by-pick analysis as the Kraken officially come to life. Listen this Wednesday from 5 to 7 p.m. right here on 710 ESPN Seattle. Speaking of Mike Salk, he joins us now, brought to you by Jafco Plumbing and Sewer. Mike, how are you?
Stacey, what an awesome sports weekend. Mariners win, NHL expansion draft guys are out there for us to look at. Unbelievable British Open. You name it, it was out there this weekend.
Where do I even? Okay, well, I'll start with, we'll start with the Kraken. And by the way, I told everyone I would mention some of the Seattle celebrities that are going to help announce those expansion draft picks. You've got Marshawn Lynch, Jordan Morris, Gary Payton, Bobby Wagner going to be on there, Sue Bird, a couple other people, Kyle Lewis. And so it's obviously a fun roster for a really fun event. Now, the two big names, obviously, that are floating around, Carey Price and Vladimir Tarasenko, do you see Seattle picking either of those guys?
I mean, they're both really good players. I've loved Tarasenko for a while, forward, really skilled scoring forward with St. Louis, has had some injury problems. Both of these guys have. So with either pick, you'd be really having to, you know, swallow hard on their medical history. But Tarasenko's a really creative, fun player to watch. He's really, really a great offensive skill player. And then, you know, with Carey Price, you're talking about a guy who's been one of the better goalies in the league for a while. He's getting up there in age. I can't help that I hate him a little bit for being a Canadian his entire career. But he's probably going to need hip surgery. You may end up missing him for part of the upcoming season. And there is a lot of money that he'd be owed. It would take up, what is it, 8% of your cap or some really large percentage like that. So, you know, if you want him, you've got to really decide that that's going to be worth it to you. Look, you need to have a good goalie. As I look around, I see that there are other options. Am I going to be mad if they take Carey Price? Heck no. I mean, he's a really good player, but I think you can do better or you can do nearly as well elsewhere without having to spend that level of cash.
You know, Saul, I really get the impression from Ron Francis and Dave Haxtell in terms of how they're viewing this, that they want to build from the ground up. That it's not just, hey, we want to establish a group of all-stars and we're going to take the best of the best in terms of the highest value names and put this thing together and see if we can go win a playoff game here, you know, over the next few years. I really, really get the feeling that this group might take a bunch of no-name guys, might take some guys that are on the bottom end of the rung in terms of names that everyone was initially thinking, but they feel like they can best fit their scheme, their system. Do you get that same impression?
Well, there'll be some of that, but remember, they do have to get to a salary floor. I mean, you can't just take a bunch of scrubs, call it a day. I mean, you're going to have to take some guys that you owe some money to, and that's both in free agency and in the expansion portion of the draft. So, yeah, I think there'll be some players that aren't necessarily big, you know, household names. But as I look through, and I'm not going to pretend to be the expert John Morosi, as I'm looking forward to working with him on Wednesday night during this expansion draft show, you know, there's some pretty darn good players. You know, a couple of Islanders stand out to me. Jordan Eberle, who'd been in Edmonton, I think is a really good, gritty forward. Kyle Palmieri is on that list, also has been in with the Islanders. And Nick Leddy, defenseman who just got traded from the Islanders to the Blackhawks. You know, three players that just sort of jump off to me immediately. You know, another guy that you like out there is Landeskog. I mean, you're talking about a player who is, again, gritty, captain-like material, person who will go dig in the corners and hit other teams and really set a physical presence. Look, I grew up watching physical brand of hockey. I can't help it. That's sort of what I'll come back to. And as much as I like a guy like Tarasenko, you know, he's a skilled forward. He's not going to fit if your desire is to really be a physical, nasty team.
Switching gears here to look at the Mariners, another great outing from Logan Gilbert. Kikuchi struggles. Flexen was fantastic. What are you taking away when it comes to just starting pitching from this series?
Look, I'm excited about winning two out of three, but I think we're reaching a critical point here, guys, where we got to have a really serious conversation about what this starting rotation is. A couple of days ago, we were saying that there were three times out of five or six that you felt like you could trust it. Is that number down to two? I mean, I don't know what to do with these last two Kikuchi starts, but he's been awful in both of them. And again, I have some of that confirmation bias. It's more of what I expected from him, which is the anomaly, what we saw for much of the first half or what we've seen here for the last couple of games, because he has not been the all-star that he was named. In fact, he's been quite the opposite. I feel like you've got a lot of trust in Gilbert. And again, what you saw from him yesterday is ace-like quality stuff moving forward as he matures into it. Flexing continues to be consistent and give you a chance to win almost every time he's out there. But you're not a playoff team if you can only trust two of your starting pitchers. And we'll see what happens with Marco his next time up. But other than that, I'm getting a little nervous about where you're at in terms of starting pitching. And, you know, as you look through Baseball Reference today, list the Mariners' chances at making the playoffs at just under 6%. Okay, well, if Kikuchi gets back to being Kikuchi and Gonzalez gets back to being himself and everybody else stays healthy and you add an arm, maybe you can get that number up to 20, maybe 30% here in the next couple of weeks, which I think gives you a pretty decent shot at it. But if you're not able to get the starting pitching you need, you know, you may end up in sell mode before too long.
Yeah, that it's interesting you go down that road, Salk, because I'm the same way with Kikuchi, but I'm not quite on the same level of, I really don't trust this guy based off of past performance. I'm willing to give him a few more starts before I get to that point, but I was with you at the start of the season that I have no confidence that Kikuchi could turn into this all-star based off of the confidence issues that we saw from him, turns himself into an all-star at the beginning of the year, but this is definitely not the turn over the last two starts that you want to see from him, and it makes a huge impact on your team and your chances, no doubt about it. Now, Salk, one of the things I wanted to ask you, because I know you're more open to this than I am, like far more open to this than I am, is Mitch Haniger. He comes out red hot in July and also coming out of this series. If he continues to play well heading into the trade deadline, do you start to think that other teams become more serious in terms of trade offers for him?
Well, absolutely they will. I mean, especially if there's no deal to be reached between him and the Mariners. I mean, you know, if you're a contender and that's the thing you need is a right-handed bat and a corner outfielder and somebody who can give you, you know, a five-tool kind. I mean, who wouldn't want a Mitch Haniger? He's a dream deadline acquisition who the acquiring team gets for another year beyond this one. So I think he's got a lot of value. I mean, again, if you're the Mariners, you got to figure out where you're at. You know, we saw today Corey Brock had some interesting ideas on a trade of Haniger that would bring back a player like Will Myers, where, you know, you're still bringing back somebody who could help you in the next year or so. So it's not a complete sell job. But if this starting pitching goes south, selling becomes a much more realistic option. And if you're selling, yeah, all right, Haniger's probably your chip that is going to bring you back the most. But you're not 2-3 years away from contention. Even if you decide that you can't quite get there this year, you need to be bringing back players that are going to make an impact for you next season, which means young major leaguers, and you've got to find a team that's willing to part with that.
Yeah, that's my big question for you is if they do indeed go down that road, what do they have to get back to make that worthwhile?
You're going to get somebody who can be an impact for your team next year. An equivalent or better impact than Mitch Haniger would be next season and beyond, because you can't be trading him for a lottery ticket, not when you're this close to making a real run at it. But, you know, if he's a part of a centerpiece of a deal that does get you back a young pitcher that you think you can continue to build on. I know a few weeks ago we were talking about Marquez. I think he's going to be so expensive that it's going to be prohibitive. But that type of player where, okay, yeah, you're getting him for next year, but the real goal is to have him beyond that. That's the kind of player, maybe not him in particular, that I feel you're going to need to get back in a Haniger deal.
Well, I was going to talk a bit about John Rahm and just Arizona State University greatness, Curtis.
It's an oxymoron.
Unfortunately.
That doesn't exist.
We'll have to squeeze some of that in tomorrow because we have to let you go. But mental note to myself, we'll be bringing that up tomorrow with you, Mike.
Okay, I'm on it.
Okay, see you later. All right, you guys. Jake has a message for the Mariners. Please. Do not trade Mitch Haniger. That's next.
You're listening to Jake and Stacy.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Jake Heaps and Stacy Ross.
We have so many important things to cover. The first and most important might be Curtis found a tweet that said the player born... Say it again?
Yeah, it's a really good prompt. It says, okay. The best baseball player born on your birthday has to get on base to save your life. The pitcher he's facing is the game one starter of the World Series champs the year you graduated high school. Do you live to see tomorrow?
Okay.
We're going to look that up.
You're going to look it up, and this is important research we're going to look into.
Yeah, we got to come. We'll come back to the timeline, figure out where we stand.
More importantly, I, on Friday, sat and watched a Mariners game for the first time in my entire life with my whole family. Me, my mom, my stepdad, and my sister, we all sat and watched it. It was fantastic. It was so fun. We've never, sat and watched a game. And my mom, in love with Mitch Haniger. She loves Mitch Haniger so much. She calls him Mitchie or Mitchell. And every time he would do anything, it would be like he would go in for a run. He'd run in to home and she'd be like, is he up next? I'm like, no. You got to go through the lineup. No, Mitchie isn't next. But like, is Mitchie pitching now? Like she loves him. And Jake, she is not the only one, because you also got in trouble earlier this year, not to put you on blast, mm-hmm. when you were potentially open to trading Mitch Haniger, and you've since changed your mind, but
yes.
not before getting in some trouble with family members of your own.
Correct. And to start the year, I was cold-hearted, cold-blooded, and I thought to myself, look, if Mitch Haniger can get off to a great start, he's a great trade piece for you, and the whole conversation about the rebuild is most important. And Mitch Haniger, is he going to be a part of that, or can he continue to keep adding to your rebuild? The one thing that I overlooked is the fact that nothing is seamless. It is not an easy transition to go from your farm system and the stars that you may have and that you have pegged as your guys that are going to take over for the future, and exactly how they get that done is two entirely different things. You can project to have all the talent in your outfield as humanly possible. Mm-hmm. Jared Kelenic, Jake Fraley, Taylor Trammell, Julio Rodriguez, and those four guys. And, oh, man, you're going to have – how are you going to fit all those guys in there? But as we have seen over the course of this year, that's not always a guarantee, and that they work out and that it goes seamlessly. And right now, Mitch Haniger, what he is he is – even if he goes through the year or through the remainder of his contract, he is the perfect stopgap player for this team. At his very worst, the perfect stopgap player as you transition into an outfield that's led by Jared Kelenic, mm-hmm. as you led by, we'll see, Kyle Lewis, Taylor Trammell, who knows what he develops into, Julio Rodriguez that's coming down. You have very good, very exciting young core of outfielders, but we don't know what the story is going to be ultimately with those guys. And as you figure that out and as you go into that transition where they go from not just being prospects and being something young and exciting, but to being established and being ready to take over the helm, you've got somebody in Mitch Haniger that is an all-star quality type of player that can bring big moments, that can get you the home runs, that can get you the RBIs, that can get you the critical at-bats and be a leader on your team. And right now, they don't have that. If they get rid of Mitch Haniger at this point in time, I think that that puts a major halt to the energy that you have in your clubhouse right now, and it could put a major damper on your chances to really truly compete for that wild card spot in the second half of this season.
Now, I was going to say, and you answered it a little bit, but just to dive more into that, what does it tell you if they do? Like, if Jerry Dipoto trades Mitch Haniger, and obviously the second part of this would be what did he get in return, but let's just say he decides to move on from Mitch Haniger, who's been your best offensive player this year. He moves on from Mitch Haniger. What does it tell you about either the direction Jerry Dipoto sees them going in this year or in the future about where he thinks the rebuild is? What's the message you get, Jake, as a Mariners fan, if Mitch Haniger's traded?
Part of it has to do with what he gets in return.
Right.
That is the most critical aspect of it. And I'll ask the same question to you guys that I asked Saul.
Mm-hmm.
Both of you, what do you think is fair, is worthy of a trade of Mitch Haniger, getting back pieces for him? What would you be
happy
with?
I think it would have to be a starting caliber pitcher that could still help you this year. If they trade Mitch Haniger and you were to get someone who, you know, a younger promising player, that's fine. But once again, it's like, okay, so you're traditional sellers again, mm-hmm. at the trade deadline. And I think that you're in an interesting spot where the goal still is contending beyond this year, not necessarily contending this year, but you're in a nice spot where you're only, what, 2.5 games back of Oakland for the second wild card spot. And even though the wild card isn't your goal, you want to be able to, I think, reward the players that are performing well and really giving it their all with at least a shot at just kind of getting close to touching the postseason or remaining competitive somehow. Because you do, I think, harm some development when you, for lack of a better way, give up. But when you take away any weapons to keep this team at least competitive this year,
mm-hmm.
well, then what happens for J.P. Crawford? What happens for Ty France? What happens for guys that are young and are going to be part of this picture moving forward, but are learning to win, are learning to be leaders, are learning some important skills that you can kind of only learn when you're in that kind of wild card race?
Yeah. Yeah. Curtis, what do you think?
I'm researching pitchers, and
now you found mine.
Jake got Lou Gehrig on his birthday.
What?
Okay, so he's living to see
Boom,
the next
baby.
Day.
What's
yes.
mine?
Your matchup would be Kenny Lofton against Josh Beckett.
What's the worst hitter for mine?
Well, I got a terrible matchup.
What's yours?
I got Hal Morris, who was a journeyman first baseman in the 90s. He's going up against CC Sabathia.
Oof, yeah, that seems like a bit outmatched right there.
It was nice knowing y'all.
but you look at that, and for me, the trade piece has to be someone that is of comparable value to what Mitch Haniger is. Maybe it's in a different position. Maybe it's in the infield instead of the outfield. A missing piece there that you can build and move towards, but that can be somebody that is ready to play for you right now. It scares me to trade for prospects, even if it's a top-level prospect mm-hmm. that's ready to enter the bigs the following season. As we have seen, it is not a guarantee that those type of players end up panning out for you and can be contributors the following year.
Yep.
Their first time in the bigs is a learning process. It is a learning curve, and it doesn't mean that they are going to come into the situation ready to, you know, come out firing out of the gate. So you are taking a step back there. And for me right now, what Mitch Haniger means to this team, not just for this year, but what I think he can mean for the following year, is far more valuable than just getting rid of him just to get rid of him and perpetually still add to the rebuilding process. At some point, you have to put your flag down and say that we are going to be a competitive team. And I think right now what the Mariners are doing, as of the current moment, mm-hmm. is showing that they can be just that and that they're turning the corner to be a legitimate competitive team, a team that will be in the playoff hunt for years to come. And I think that's important.
Well said, Jake. This hour of Jake and Stacey is brought to you by Muckleshoot Casino. Also, we are taking you around the diamond thanks to Shane Company, your friend in the jewelry business. The Mariners have the day off, but they'll travel to Colorado to take on the Rockies tomorrow at 5:40 p.m. let's go get some pitchers batting. I like that. And that's Around the Diamond, brought to you by Shane Company, your friend in the jewelry business. Coming up next, we are getting you guys primed and ready for the NHL expansion draft with ESPN NHL reporter Emily Kaplan. Don't go anywhere.